Good morning, everybody. It is a pleasure to be here this morning. Thanks for coming out on this beautiful Sunday, and there is no better place we could be today than the house of the Lord. This morning, I hope to accomplish two main things with this topic that I've studied, and I have put several weeks into this topic, and I hope the main thing that we learn today is that we can study and learn the Word of God together. The second thing that I hope to accomplish, just more of a personal goal, is I don't want to pass out up here. I'm a little nervous today, so bear with me. This is my very first sermon that I've ever given. For a text today, I'd ask you to turn to the first book of Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. And here Simon Peter is writing an ominous warning to the Christians throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia. Now, I'm going to read from my Bible today a lot. I have a tablet at home, but I don't prefer to use it. I've had this Bible for almost 20 years. It's got me this far, and I'm going to take it all the way home today. So bear with me as I flip through the verses. Verse 8 reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." This is a haunting message that Peter gives to the Christians in Asia. It's a message that still rings true to this day. We as Christians are hunted. We are hunted for a prized possession that we carry with us that is more valuable than anything in the world, and that is our soul. So today we are going to learn, who is this adversary that hunts us? How is he made? How does he work? Why does he hunt us? And the one thing at the end of the lesson that we are going to learn today is, how can we defeat him? And we are going to learn from the greatest person that ever taught, and that is Jesus Christ, and how he defeated him, and use his examples to help guide us through this world. But first, we have an honor and a privilege to go to the Lord in prayer. So before we dive into this lesson, let's take that opportunity. Humble yourselves in some manner while we go before the Lord in prayer. So our text this morning starts us off with a very dark and ominous warning. Peter, of all people, was a good person to give us this warning. He was once in the book of Luke warned by Jesus himself that he's told, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat." And we all know the story of Peter's test that he received from Satan that night, where he denied knowing Jesus three times. So Peter is a good person to tell us this, because he has dealt with and faced the same adversary. And when I started making this lesson, I almost used that as a verse, and that is Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Because I often wonder to myself, what if Jesus came to me and said, "Steve, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat." Would I have the knowledge and the skills and the preparation to defend myself from such a vile adversary? The first thing that I want to study today, though, is, who is Satan? He is mentioned in the Bible as the devil 35 times. 54 times he's mentioned as Satan. 8 times he's mentioned as the wicked one. And 5 times he's mentioned as the evil one. In Matthew chapter 7, he is described as the wolf in sheep's clothing. The Hebrew language, he's known as Abaddon, which stands for the destroyer. And in Greek, he's called Apollyon. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and if you could turn with me to this, we read, "And I heard a loud voice saying unto heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." He is known as the accuser, who goes to the Lord day and night, accusing us of sins. And I want you to remember that verse, because we'll come back to it later on in our lesson today. We can read where the devil came from and how he began. And that starts in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 through 19. It says, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, thy throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou sought to be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, this is a man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof that opened not the house of the prisoners. And the kings of the nations, even of them that lie in glory, every one is in his own house. Satan started off as an angel in heaven, but because of his beauty and his glory and his vanity, he was cast down, sent to plague the earth with his hatred and despise for Christians. In Revelation 12:12, it says, "Rejoice, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a short time." Satan has spread. Satan has spanned the entire time of man, from the very beginning to the very end of our history or our future to come. He starts his reign in Genesis chapter 3, where he shows up as a subtle serpent to attack Eve in the garden. Well, to tempt Eve in the garden, I should say. And he ends his reign in Revelation chapter 20, where he is finally cast into the bottomless pit. He is on the earth to seek out and to hunt ill-prepared Christians and to destroy any of the creations of God. He travels the earth to and fro, as we can read in Job chapters 2, verses 1 and 2. And we'll turn back to this verse later on to this chapter for verses 3 and 4. But it says, "And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." As Christians, we cannot escape or hide from Satan or his devices that he uses to ensnare us. We need to know how the devil works, because that will be one of the best ways for us to defend ourselves from him. The devil works in three basic ways. The first way is a subtle serpent. As we can read in the story of the garden with Eve, he is there to enchant our imaginations. And it says, "And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." It's important to know that when he comes to us as the subtle serpent, he is not ugly in his ways. He's a creature of beauty. We simply wouldn't listen to him or give him any thought if we were to open our door one day and there was an ugly monster there. We would turn and run, as we should. But it's important to remember that sin can enter our lives with enchantment in a way that we might think it's something that's pleasurable. I want to use, for an example, a documentary that I saw on TV of a young woman named Terry Kohler. She was in Mississippi, and she became addicted to gambling. And after 2 years, she had spent all the money her family had, maxed out every credit card. Her husband left her and took their children, and their house was foreclosed on. And she begged a family member for $200 so she could pay some basic bills. And with that $200, went straight to the casino and gambled it away. And later that night took her own life out of shame for what she had done. I do believe that if the devil would have tempted her and shown her this up front, it would have never happened. And that's what we need to remember as Christians, is that the subtleness of sin can be dangerous to us. We need to see it before it arises. The second way, and one of the most dangerous ways that Satan appears to us, is he appears as the angel of light to deceive us with false views of spiritual things, refinements in religion, presumptions on the grace of God. I'm going to turn now to John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. If you turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. False prophets are one of the most dangerous things that we face in this world. The belief that our God will not punish us for sin is a main one. I've heard a lot of people say that, how could a loving God punish His children for sins? But He does punish us. I mean, we can read in the book of Noah or read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. He will punish people for their sins on this earth. Dangerous things in this world, such as teachers telling children that there is no God, or teaching them that science gives us the answers to questions in life and not the Bible. Verse 3 of chapter 11 of Corinthians, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind shall be corrupted in the simplicity of Christ. A lot of people try to complicate the Bible, make it a lot more difficult than it is. It was purposely made simple for us so we could stick to it and have it as a guideline in our life and use it to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow path. The third way that the Satan comes after us is as a roaring lion to bear down on us, to destroy us with violent opposition, persecution, and death. Satan hates Christians. He hates the creations of God. It's everything that he is against in this world. We can read of that. We'll go back to Job chapter 3, verses 404, verses 3 and 4. In Job chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and it says, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man that feareth God and switches evil, and still beholdeth fast in his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered to the Lord, skin for skin, ye all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. I'm sorry, I meant to tell you verses 4 and 5. And I went ahead and added in an extra one there for us. Satan will come to us first as a subtle serpent, try to just lure us in with tender persuasion. And if that doesn't work, he throws in the lies and the false teachings to try to lead us astray. And if finally we're too strong for that, he takes the gloves off and pulls the teeth out, and he comes in with violence and oppression. And I was reading in one of the commentaries, and a gentleman said, if he kills us as Christians, it stops us from spreading the Word of God throughout the world. So he's not opposed to, as he says here, skin for skin, I can take him and he'll curse you to thy face. He is a violent person and a most dangerous adversary that we need to be prepared for. And like I said earlier, ill-prepared Christians are the easiest target for him. We shouldn't worry, though, because we have the tools and the skills and the teachings necessary to protect us from Satan. Lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices. We know how He works, so we should be able to know how to prepare ourselves and protect ourselves from the will of Satan. We can win. Our number one defense against Satan is knowledge of the Bible. That is Satan's number one weakness. We can start with a warning from Jesus, and that is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. God wants us to be wise. Well, Jesus here writes that He wants us to be wise as a serpent. We need to know the tricks that are going to come before us. We need to know the ways that Satan is going to attack us. He wants us to be peaceful as doves when confronted with evil. He doesn't want us to face evil with evil. We should turn the other cheek. Judgment is reserved for the Lord, and He will give that in due time. And back to our text where Peter says, be sober and be vigilant. Our adversary is the devil. And this reason we should be sober and vigilant. Sober doesn't mean to just not be drunk. It means to have a clear mind. You have an ever-active, implacable, subtle enemy to contend with. He walketh about and he has access to everywhere. He knows your feelings and he knows your propensities and informs himself of all of your circumstances. Only God can know more and do more than he. Therefore, you must put all of your care to God. As an example I'd like to give of how Jesus prepared himself or defended himself from the devil, I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 6. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, in their hands thy shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we'll continue reading verses 8 through 10. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof them. And he saith unto him, all things will I give thee. I will, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And this is the main way that we can fight the devil and his temptations. We have to know what is written in the Bible, and you need to know it now. You cannot wait until you're tempted to try to remember, well, what's that verse? What was it? That'll be too late then. You're already being eaten. In the end, God will destroy Satan, and he will rid us of this wrath and plague. We read in Revelations chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they were tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I ask you to remember the verse that we read earlier today, where Satan was known as the accuser of brethren, where he tortured God day and night with accusations of the brethren in the church. And here we see that it has come full circle, that God has cast Satan down into the pit, and he too now will forever be tormented day and night. I'm going to leave you with this one last verse for today. And I do definitely apologize. We practiced this lesson at home a bunch of times this week, and seemed like we had about a good 25 minutes, and I'm looking at a good 8 minutes solid right now. So at least we'll be early for lunch, everybody. Then lunch is on Dad today. So, bear with me one second here. I'm not going to tell you the verse that I'm going to read or where it's at in the Bible. I'm just going to read it to you because that is the main point for the lesson today. We have to know our Bibles and we have to learn them to be able to defend ourselves from Satan. So if you want to learn where this message is at, you're going to have to search for it. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure, he will give them repentance and acknowledge of the truth, and they and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by them at his will. This is my lesson for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sorry it was a little short. I'll try to do better next time. If you have never obeyed the steps of God, you need to hear the word, believe it, confess your sins, repent, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you are a Christian and you have found yourself to have fallen short of the glory of God, as so many people have, you can repent and confess, and we can pray and install you back into the good graces of God. But if there be one that needs the services of the church this morning, won't you please come while we stand and sing?